This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off the replacement training bundle.
I am 28 years old and I have had trichotillomania since I was 5. So over 20 years of dealing with this hair pulling habit, I am diagnosed with OCD, but that did not come until I was in my 20s. So for the majority of my duration with this disorder, I was very much going untreated. And so I started when I was 5. My parents divorced, and there was a lot of back and forth. I was, you know, with my mom some weekends, with my dad some weekends, and I didn't really have a lot of control over anything because I was so young and I had seen a lot for 5 years old. And I really think it kind of started out of a place of like not having any control over my life and my surroundings and, you know, where I wanted to be. So I would, you know, I would pull my hair out because I was bored and because I wasn't where I wanted to be. You know, I didn't really enjoy being shipped back and forth. My parents lived in two different states, so it was always kind of a hassle to move from one household to the other. And I just remember sitting behind my dad's couch and he was playing video games, and you know, I really wanted to go home. I really wanted to be with my mom, and there was really nothing for me to do. I didn't have any toys there. I didn't have any, you know, I just, there was nothing there for me. It was not my home. I was just there for the weekend, and I started pulling out my eyelashes, and it was fun. It was exciting. I was like, oh my gosh, I've discovered this new thing that's kind of like, oh, I can pull this eyelash out. I can play with it. Oh, look, it kind of looks different from the other ones. Or, you know, oh, this one has like a little speck of something on it. Like, I don't know. It was so granular, and I was just like intrigued by it. And I called my mom and I was like, oh my gosh, you're never going to believe what I'm doing. I'm pulling my eyelashes. And she was like, you have to stop immediately. Stop it. Don't do that anymore. She also pulls her eyelashes out and her eyebrows. So like, she knew the, you know, long-term consequences of it, but like, I just didn't care. It was the only thing that was entertaining me. And unfortunately it continued. And despite my mother's best efforts to get me to stop, I mean, we tried every trick in the book. She would, you know, when I was younger, she would bribe me, right? Like every day that I went without pulling, I would get like a prize or, you know, like a dollar or something. And she also tried like punishing me. Like if I did pull my eyelashes out, my Game Boy got taken away or whatever, you know, just like little things like that. There was also a lot of talk of like, boys aren't going to like you if you don't have eyelashes, and boys like girls with pretty long eyelashes. So the shame was kind of there from the beginning, you know, like this is not something that you're supposed to be doing. You need to hide that you're doing this. You need to stop doing this. That was always the messaging that was being relayed to me. And yeah, it only made it worse. Despite how much I did not like the fact that I did this and that it was abnormal that I did this, I always enjoyed the act of pulling. It was never the pulling out the eyelashes themselves that was like the embarrassing part. It was like the scary like mindset of like, what if somebody finds out that I do this and then they think that I'm weird and then they don't want to hang out with me and then boys aren't going to like me. So yeah, I mean, it got worse. And by the time I was like 16, I was without bottom and top eyelashes. And I have pretty much stayed that way since. So it's been a long road.
I read your article for the Huffington Post that you published in 2019. I want to ask you before I ask questions from the article, some of the things that you wrote in there just really stood out to me that I have to ask you. So tell me first, how did you get to the point where you wanted to share publicly and wanted to write this for the entire world?
That's a good question because, for a long time, like I said, I was really ashamed of it. And there was a point in college where I was exhausted with putting on makeup every day. I had 8 a.m. classes, and I'm pretty meticulous about wearing eyeliner whenever I go out in public. I want to conceal. I don't want to show people. But there's this one day in college where I looked at myself with no makeup on, and I was like, I look fine. Okay, if somebody notices this, whatever, what are they gonna do? The power of the shame had kind of gone away somehow, or I was just sick of it, maybe. But yeah, and I started being more verbal about it with my friends, and it turned out that the more people that I told about it, the more I realized that other people just didn't care, which was almost like a little insulting because I was like, this is something that I've hid for my entire life, and I'm mustering up all this courage to tell you that I do this and that this is my big secret. And some people had known me for years and I had never told them. And then it's almost like as soon as I told them, they were like, okay, what do you want to do after this? Do you want to go get some food? They just didn't care. And they wanted to move on. I don't know if it was because they were uncomfortable and they were like, just like, I don't really want to talk about this. That's weird. Cool story. Next, or that they just generally they were like, well, they understood that it was something I did and I can't control it really. So yeah, I don't know why people don't really care about it that much when I tell them, but they just didn't. And I joined a couple of online groups, trichotillomania support groups on Facebook. And that was really helpful to see people talk about it. Cause when I was young, I would go on the internet all the time and I would look up trichotillomania and there was nothing. There was nothing out there about it. Even like WebMD was very vague about it and didn't have any really solid answers. And there were certainly no first person accounts of like, I have this, this is what it's like. There was like two books that were written in the 80s that were how to talk to your child about their hair pulling habit. But yeah, there was just no like, hey, I'm a real person. This is my experience with it. And so I wanted to do that. I was just like, I want to put something out in a really public way so that if another little girl is like looking online for just advice or just to feel like they're not like the weirdest little kid in the world, like I needed that. I needed that when I was growing up. I never found it. And so I was like, why not take advantage of this opportunity and put this out there so that it will be there when somebody looks up trichotillomania? That's really all I wanted.
As a fellow eyelash puller, the way that you describe pulling out your eyelashes, I'm like, yes, exactly, because they are my favorite. Like I've pulled from other parts of my body and I still do, but something about the eyelashes, the whole thing is just to me amazing and very, very hard to stop because I love it so much.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what it is. There's just this is so weird to say out loud. You think all of these things. I mean, I don't know anybody besides my mom that has trichotillomania, and I try not to talk about it very much with her. But it's weird because it's like the eyelashes are such a specific texture, and there's no other hair on the body that mimics it. And it's also so sensitive. The eyelashes, they're just kind of like they're right over your eyes. They're on this like very sensitive spot on your face. And I've gotten to the point where I've pulled them for so long that I can feel them. Like I'm hyper aware of them. And, I don't even have any, right? I'm talking about little tiny, tiny, like baby eyelashes to where it's almost like I can feel them growing. And when that happens, it's so hard to ignore. And I look around at other people with these full, luscious eyelashes, and I'm just like, how does that not drive you insane? Like, I can't envision carrying around all of that hair on my eyes because, like, it's like the second I feel an eyelash growing, I'm like, I cannot focus unless I remove this hair from my eye. Like, sometimes it hurts. That's something that doesn't really get talked about a lot is the pain that's associated with trichotillomania before and after pulling. I struggle to kind of talk about how, like, when I'm trying to not pull and there's an eyelash and like my hand like brushes against it, or even if I'm not touching it, I can still feel like a tinge of pain that's there until I pull it out. And then when I pull it out, that pain is gone. So then that just reinforces the habit of like, well, you have to remove this like alien on your face in order to not be in pain.
Yeah, and there's the different bulbs, like that big white bulb that you get, that your eye's gonna water. Like I already know, I'm like, yep, I can just tell that's gonna be one. Sometimes it's interesting. I had an eyelash the other day that, like you said, I brushed against it. I knew there was this sensation, and I'm like, I have to get this one out. I can't live like this. Like I just can't exist with this one in here. So I'm messing with it with my fingers, and I like gently pull, and it comes out, and it wasn't as satisfying as I thought. And I was like, darn. I looked in the mirror. I'm like, oh, it was you. I wanted it to be a different eyelash so that I could get that like stronger sensation. It kind of just like came out. And I was bummed out about that. I was like, ugh, I want a little more than that.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. For me, I have found that if I'm ever able to grow an eyelash beyond its like first couple of days, the longer it gets, the less satisfying it is to pull out, to where the really tiny, really short ones, they're so close. They're basically still not even like out of the skin yet. Those are the ones that feel biggest when, you pull them out, at least for me. Which makes it quite hard to stop.
Because I think for people who don't know, about eyelashes and the different roots that you can have, when they're small like that, you can even get a sheath. You can get that clear. And that's an interesting thing because people look for that when they pull from their scalp. That's like a very big reward. And to have that on your eyelashes as well, it's like, well, how can I stop that? How could I leave when I'm getting that reward?
Yes, exactly. And when I pull, I have like a makeup mirror or whatever, and I always put the eyelash on the mirror. And so like my mirror has all these eyelashes on it. So it's almost like when I go to pull, I can like see all the different ones that I've pulled out, and they're different shapes and they're different sizes and they're different textures. And man, it's just like I don't know what thick part of my brain just like really enjoys that, like having this collection of hairs that I have removed from myself. And I just remember I look at them and I see all of these moments where it was like in that moment that hair was like all I could think about, and now it's just a speck of dust on my mirror.
Do you by any chance rub them on your lips, or is it right to the mirror?
I don't. I used to like play with them between my fingers and like roll them like that, but no, I've never done anything like putting them to my lips or anything. Mostly because I don't want to lose them. I feel like I'm like I have to put this here so that it won't accidentally disappear.
Yeah, I made a video one time about, losing the eyelash and like searching for it. And that is a big part of it. Like I because I rub it across the lips, I have lost them and I'm like looking all over my comforter, I'm looking on my shirt, and to not find it is distressing because I really wanted to see it and inspect it. And I stick mine on stuff as well.
Yeah, because it's like, and it's funny because like nobody else sees them. Like sometimes if I'm ever in like a hotel or something, and I'll like put an eyelash against the mirror, and I wonder if somebody comes in like the maid or something, and they're cleaning the mirror, like they're not even gonna see it. But like when I look in the mirror, I see it, and it's so weird, this disorder that we have. I mean, I don't say weird in like a negative context because, I know that your platform is all about making this into a positive thing, which I totally love and respect. But I don't know. There's just something There's just some like sick little part of my brain that just really enjoys this activity, no matter how much I know that it's not good for me. It's not good for my self-esteem, and it's caused me lots of troubles along the years, just feeling different and not in a good way.
When you were first diagnosed in the article, it sounded like the people around you, the doctors and professionals, were very nonchalant. Like, oh,
So
this is
nonchalant.
something. Yeah, tell me a little bit more about how that made you feel. Like, for me, it was like, oh, are you eating it? Like, oh, like everybody to me, it was like a big thing. Like, they treated it like, oh my gosh, we have to figure this out. So I'm interested to know, was the nonchalant helpful at all or?
No, it was not. But I don't know if the other reaction would have been helpful either, because, it took us a long time, right? Like me and my mom both kind of kept this secret for a while. And then one day we went to the doctor and we were talking to the doctor about it. And he was like, oh, yeah, like this is what it's called. And, he basically looked at my mom and was like, she'll grow out of it. She'll stop doing it. Just don't worry about it. He very much just thought it was a weird habit that I had that, like sucking your thumb or like biting your nails, where you're like, oh, they're going to grow out of this one day. And, in a sense, my mom kind of believed that because that's kind of what happened to her. She pulled her eyelashes and she still does, but not to the extent that I do. But when she became a teenager, she wanted to wear mascara. And that was a big factor in her being able to control the urges and not pull herself into having, bald eyes. To where with me, that was not a motivator for me. I did not care. I figured out that eyeliner works just the same as mascara does in our case. And, as long as I could find different ways to hide it, I was like, might as well keep going. I don't even know what I would look like with eyelashes. I don't even remember. So it's hard to feel motivated by something that just doesn't. It just doesn't seem like it's gonna happen for me.
And your mom learned the name the same time you did. And she had this, you said, growing up her whole life.
Yeah, she did. I mean, if there were not enough resources for me, definitely for her, there were none. Like, she didn't even have access to the internet, right? So she learned about it as soon as I did. And she was kind of learning as we went along with those books from the 80s that we did buy and we read together. But yeah, she learned about the disorder and, I learned about it. And I think that though her personal experience with it was like growing out of it, I don't think she was prepared for me to not grow out of it.
I wonder, does mom have another way of self-soothing? Are there any other BFRBs that you've noticed that maybe she does?
That's a good question. I don't think so. Like I have a lot of them. Like I bite my nails, which is so annoying. And I always wish that I had long, pretty nails, and I just don't. That's not me. But like, no, my mom doesn't really do any other, to my knowledge at least, any self-soothing things. She does pull her eyebrows out, and I don't do that. I've never ventured to that yet. I hope I don't, because then I would be really, really like my eyebrows are already so blonde and thin and basically not even there. And it wouldn't take much for me to just have a very fleshy face.
What's funny is I started with my eyebrows and then went to around the same age as you, went to eyelashes and hair right here. And then somehow my eyebrows do not satisfy me anymore. I haven't pulled them. Like I'll tug on them, random, but I don't pull them in the same way that I pull other parts of my body. I just, the sensation is different now. And I'm like, okay, change the sensation for all the other stuff too. Like, well, I don't know why that doesn't satisfy me anymore. Another reason why this disorder is very complex and just incredibly hard to understand. Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
It is. It is. And that's why I think some people just like want to move on from the conversation as soon as I bring it up, because they don't understand it and they don't want to be insulting. And they also just like don't notice. Like I notice that I don't have eyelashes as soon as I look in the mirror, but like it's weird for me to think that other people like look at me and they're looking right at like my biggest secret and they don't say anything. And some people will even ask me, like my friends will ask me if I have any mascara, or you know, like they're like, oh, you know how like an eyelash will like get in your eye and you have to like curl it. And I'm like, no, I have no idea. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have eyelashes.
In the article, you mention a girl, sitting by you and you realizing that she sees that you're missing eyelashes. 1000% my stomach felt sick because I've had many experiences just like that. And like we mentioned earlier, when you don't have a BFRB and you don't have something that physically alters your appearance, especially on your face, you might not understand the level of paranoia and just insecurity that we have that you can feel someone's look. And before they even say anything, you know that they know, and it just makes you feel sick.
It does. That happened to me a lot when I was in like middle school and high school, because you know I was still in that phase where I had some eyelashes but didn't have a lot of them, and you know I would often pull my hair out in class because school was like my biggest trigger, like math, biggest trigger. Hey, I blame algebra, right? I blame algebra on some of my problems, but. The girl in particular, she was not a very nice person. And when I saw her looking at me out of the corner of my eye, I was like, here we go. Like there's not going to be a subtle conversation, like, hey, like what's up with that? No, it's going to be like announced to the class and it's going to be a bit, you know, like she's going to point it out and then she's going to point it out to other people. And then everybody's going to stare at me and ask me questions. And for somebody who's like still processing all of the shame and the guilt that this disorder comes with, that's like the worst nightmare, right? Like, you don't want to have to. And you know, at that point, I was so young and I didn't have the right words yet to explain it to people. That's been a big challenge for me too, is that it's not a simple thing. It's not like, hey, why don't you have eyelashes? And then you can just say, oh, I have trichotillomania. And then they'd be like, okay. And then that's it. Like, nobody knows what that word is. Nobody knows what it means. Then you explain it and they're still kind of confused. So, you know, at that age, I didn't have the language to concisely sum it up for, you know, an audience of other teenagers. There's just no simple explanation that I could have offered in that moment to get her to leave me alone. Anything that I said was going to make her ask even more questions. And that was the exact opposite thing that I wanted. I just wanted her to move on to something else, like anything else.
And I think for us having this disorder, we have so much empathy for other people. You'll never catch us staring at anyone. You'll never catch us blurting out, "Where are your eyelashes?" Like, I can't fathom ever doing that because it's happened to me so much. And it makes me upset that we were so little and we had to experience that, not only from our peers, which are, we can, give the excuse of, okay, they're little, they didn't know. But I knew enough. So, I'm saying things like that. And then also having it be people in our life, like the adults, kind of reinforcing, like, oh, where are they? Where are they? And it's just to be so little and to carry something like this that's so heavy, so much work I had to do to even get to the point where I could talk about it because I was just crushed by every experience I had and every missing hair. I was just like, how can I exist like this? It's just so much.
I'm really glad that you brought that up about the adults too, because the peers were one thing, but the adults in my life, they had the best intentions. And I understand that now as an adult myself. But like, I once had this experience where my grandma and I were at the mall and she was shopping for makeup. And she took me to the little makeup section. And then she was like, well, why don't you sit down and, you know, see if they can, like, you know, what makeup is right for you, you know? Totally not me, totally not knowing that, like, where this was going. You know, we had not talked about this prior. And she sat me down in that chair. And, I was a kid, I was pretty young. And the cute, like, makeup lady came over. She's like in her 20s. She's like everything I've ever wanted to be in my life, like blue hair, fabulous, And my grandma's like, yeah, my granddaughter, like, doesn't have any eyelashes. How would you do her makeup? And I looked at my grandma and I was like, why did you just tell this lady in the middle of the mall that I have this issue that I keep to myself? At that point, I was still very much like, this is me and my business, like nobody else's. And I was mortified and I started crying. And, my grandmother just was like, okay, never mind. Like, we'll go to the car. But it's like, it didn't even register to her that I might not want her to say that to a complete stranger.
Yeah, and it because when you first pull that eyelash, like when you called your mom and were like, "Hey, I did this, I saw you do it, I do it too." And to be met with, "Oh no, don't ever do that again." Like
Yeah.
in our brain's kind of telling us, "Oh, this is not right. Like you might get in trouble. You're not going to be pretty." Like whatever our brain is telling us, it tells us that pretty early on. And then for someone to share that out loud, then I'm like, "Oh, they're going to think that I'm bad." Because when you're little, everything's bad or good. They're gonna
Yeah.
think that I'm bad. And I had the same thing. My mom, of course, trying her best to find out if anyone else in our family had it, is calling everyone, telling everyone. And I'm like you, sitting there crying and like, oh my gosh, I can't. This is my worst fear. I don't want this, and I don't want everyone else to know and look
Yeah.
for it and then give advice. That's the worst part too, that they see you. Oh, let me see your eyelashes. Are they growing back? Are you doing a good job? It's like, oh, if they didn't even know, they maybe not have said anything.
Yeah, that's brutal, man. Having people look at your eyelashes to just kind of gauge how you're doing in your like overcoming process. Like, oh my God, that would make me cringe so hard. I think for me, it's just always been when people would ask me about it in public spaces, right? Like, in the classroom, when that little girl was like asking me about it, and then making other people ask me about it, and my grandma at the mall, and my dad asking me in the gas station line if I still did that weird thing with my eyelashes. And it's like, could you please keep your voice down?
I'm so happy now that there are so many people who are speaking about this, writing about it, sharing about it, because our parents, their parents, the generations were different. They're shaming things out of you. There's no, not once out of my whole 22 years of having this, had someone said to me, "You're doing your best. This is really tough. You're doing a good job. It's not your fault." Where was that? I wanted that.
Yeah.
Like, someone, please. Now we can say that to the people who are, younger generations or even people who are older. We can share that, hey, we know it's not your fault. But wow, putting the pressure on such a little kid boils my blood.
Yeah, totally. And it's not, it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. Kids are kind of conditioned anyway to do things that their parents don't want them to do. So, with trichotillomania and pulling, the feeling that you get after you pull, that overcoming, like, relaxation, I don't know, like euphoric feeling of like, wow, I feel better now. I can walk away. I can leave the bathroom. I can put my tweezers down and I can get on with my day and not have to worry about this eyelash anymore. Not have to, 'cause that's my thing too, right? Like, it takes up so much time and energy, and I can't focus on anything else when I need to pull. So it's like, when I get done with it and it feels so good, it's like, how do you explain to a little kid like that's something that feels good, that is making them feel more relaxed and more comfortable, is actually a bad thing, and they need to like deep breathe or stretch to feel better instead of like, pull their eyelashes out. That's always been something that's really irritated me about like modern therapy and stuff, is like, they're like, just take some deep breaths, or, like, do some stretches. And I'm like, that's not going to do it for me. It's not after what I have been doing for all of these years. 'Cause there's nothing that compares. There's nothing that gives you that same sensation. So it's very hard to replace it with something healthier, because anything healthier is just not as effective.
And something that I've noticed is in different therapies that I've been to, they will mention trying to sit with the discomfort. And to me, that I tried it, didn't like it, because not only am I now sitting with this discomfort all day or, hours at a time, because I'm sitting with it, I'm building up, and then I end up pulling more. If I just went to the bathroom, pulled that one hair out, I could have not touched my eyelashes for the rest of the day. So it's hard because I'm like trying to do something that the therapist is saying, but yet I know that that will make it worse for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have only gone a couple of days not pulling. I think maybe 5 days is the top of what I've ever accomplished. And those 5 days are they're painstaking. It's so hard because, like you said, you're thinking about it all day to where when you just get it over with, like for me, I pull in the mornings, I just get it over with and then move on. That feels so much more productive to me than spending 5 days straight thinking about pulling my eyelashes out and not doing it. It feels like I've wasted my time.
There's this idea of like what success looks like to people with BFRBs. How would you describe success for you?
You know, this is an interesting question and something I did want to talk about because when I was writing that article, of course, I had an editor who was working with me. And when we got toward the end, she was like, okay, what are you going to do to like overcome this? Like, what are the action items? What is the, they always want the happy ending, right? And then I got better. And then I stopped. And then I, found peace in yoga and replaced all my urges and I'm cured now and this is how you can cure yourself too. Like that's what they want, And I know you're a writer yourself and I've always thought about writing about my experience with Trick, but that's the hard part about that is they want the success story. They want the I've overcome this and this is how you can too. And that's just not my story. I would love to wake up one day and be able to overcome this. I would love that. But I know myself well enough to know that I've done this since I was 5 years old. Like this is ingrained in me at this point. And I kind of tried to emphasize to her that like for me, it's not about overcoming it, but it's about accepting it as a part of myself and being able to love that part of myself because for so long I was taught that that part was unlovable, that that part was shameful. That I should keep it hidden. And I would say a part of the success is just being able to understand it myself and explain it to others and help others understand it just a little bit, so that if somebody else in their life has this problem, then they know how to approach it with that person. But there's an opposite end to that coin because I'm getting older now. And I have a husband, and we very much want to start our own family. And something that holds me back from that is I don't want to pass this on to my kid like it was passed on to me. And I'm very much afraid of my kids seeing me do it and them being like, well, I want to do it too, because that's kind of what happened to me. So, right now, I think I'm pushing myself more to stop than I ever have before. It's not working. I'm not a success story by any means, but like right now, I think that success would be me being able to muster up the willpower to stop because I don't want to pass this on. It's not because I want to stop. It's not because I want to live without this feeling. Like, if it was up to me, like I would start every day like this because it does feel so good and it is so soothing to me. And I have so many mental health issues that it's like when something makes you feel better, you want to hold on to it as long as you can. But I'm really starting to kind of grapple with the fact that in the next few years, I need to try to curb this so that I don't repeat the cycle.
Thank you for sharing that, by the way. I think it is so important to talk about because that is a common fear for people who are wanting to have children is, wait, will they have to go through all of this stuff that I went through? And I don't want to have that because it was really hard. I think what makes me comfortable with the idea is that who better to parent that child than you? You know, look at your mindset, look at all the beautiful work that you're doing. Their experience, if they do pull, will be a million times different because they have the love and the support of someone who can go through it. Maybe even protect them from some of the things that we went through that we weren't protected. We just kind of were thrown into these situations. Maybe now having a parent who understands it like you would shield them from the stuff that we went through.
I really appreciate you saying that. That honestly means the world to me to hear that out loud, because even if I do stop, even if I am able to muster that, I mean, this is a disorder that we don't know anything about, and it could have genetic qualities. It most certainly did in my family, and I could stop, and still my child could develop this. You know, I have no idea. But yeah, I mean, I honestly have never thought about that before. That, like, if my child does develop this, I would do a lot of things differently in terms of helping them understand and live with it, because there are things that you need to know that I had to learn myself about trichotillomania and existing in the world with it.
What advice would you give parents if they have a child with a BFRB?
Oh, man. I think. Mostly just try not to make it a big deal. Try to talk about it in a way in which you're not going to perpetuate any sort of shame or guilt, because that's going to come naturally. Like, you don't have to help with that. That will be there. What you can do is try to help them stop. You know, there are tricks that work for some people. There are, you know, putting the band-aids over your fingers, or putting Vaseline on your eyes, or fidget toys, or XYZ. And by all means, try to curb it as soon as you possibly can. You know, get your child to develop other coping mechanisms if you catch it on time, but never make them feel like it's something bad or something that they should feel ashamed of. Definitely don't punish them for doing it, because it's something that they can't control, and you can help them try to control it, but you can't do that via, you know, if you punish them, if you make them feel ashamed about it, they're not going to talk to you about it. They're not going to come to you. They're not going to see you as a source of comfort. They're just going to see you as another person who thinks that what they're doing is wrong. And we don't need any more of that. We need, like, support. We need nurturing. We need comfort, because that's a big part of this, right? We're doing this to self-soothe. We're doing this to cope and to feel better. And so if you can make us feel better and you can help us cope, then that's probably the best thing that you can do for us, because that's really what we're searching for when we do this to ourselves.
Thank you.